Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
every tear and all my pain. Yeah, Lord, in your presence washed away. You are glorified. Yeah. You are glorified. One more time, you are glorified. Sing, you are glorified. Somebody say, you are glory. One more time, say, you are glorified. You are glory. With your hands lifted.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The singer was singing, you are glorified. This is the purpose of every broadcast that we do on Gatekeepers Global Podcast, that God would be lifted up, that the El Shaddai, Adonai, Yahweh, Jehovah would be glorified, the true, the only true and living God. Hallelujah. Just to narrow down things right now throughout the day to this moment, to focus on Adonai Elohim, Yahshua HaMashiach, the many names of God that are in the Bible, and we're only going to talk about five of them tonight unless one of our speakers brings up another name of God. But he is God, God Almighty, and God all by himself. And these broadcasts just light up the airwaves when we just focus on him. The last podcast I had was called The Vine Dresser. You can go to the website at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And the podcast below this one is The Vine Dresser. It was so focused on God throughout the entire podcast that the anointing was so high, the worship was so high in the beginning. And even my spiritual son, Patrick, when he was finished, he said, oh, I can feel the anointing. Let me just pray. So that's what we're doing tonight, just focusing on God. Hallelujah. I found out some things about the God I'm going to talk about this evening, El Roy, our God, the God who sees me. Do you ever think about that throughout the day or throughout the night or at any time, wherever you are? The God who sees me. I'm going to talk about how he got his name and who called him that. And I was sitting here thinking about it, and something that happened in my life long time ago is so relevant to what happened in Hagar's life. But before we go there, before I open up the broadcast or begin to minister to you, I just want to welcome you to Gatekeepers Global Podcast. And I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Caceres, and I'm honored to have you join us tonight. If you called in or you're streaming in, I so appreciate it. I appreciate you. And glad to have you with us tonight. I am going to have our minister, teacher, prophet, Chadwick Harvey, that I also want to welcome back to the podcast. It's been a while since he's been on, but I would like him to open up in prayer. Minister Chadwick Harvey, your mic is open. It's all yours.
Okay, thank you so much. Lord God, mm-hmm. we just come to magnify you tonight as two or more gathered in your name. We know that you are there amongst us, Lord. We come to magnify you, exalt you, just give you all the glory tonight in every one of your awesome names, your omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, And we know that the Holy Spirit's all over us, Lord. And we just say thank you, Lord, for being so great, being so awesome, being so fabulous in all of our lives and in the world. Your promises, everything that you've given us, Lord, we just say thank you. We're very grateful to come together to worship you and to exalt all of this, all of your beautiful names tonight, as we will get into some of them, Lord. But you deserve all the glory. We give it to you. We deny ourselves, Lord, and we just give it all to you tonight. Just anoint the broadcast, anoint the airwaves, anoint every speaker, and Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way with us as we glorify the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we say thank you, Lord, in your precious Son's name, the name higher than every other name, Yeshua, Jesus. Amen and amen and amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Minister Chadwick. Hallelujah. I'm excited. I was studying up on Elroy, and I've never heard anybody say that name. I've never heard anybody talk about God like that. I know he is Jehovah Shammah, the God that's there. But often, because of so many things that's personally taking place in my life, it's just so powerful that I can call him El Roy, the God that sees me. Because actually, nobody in heaven or in earth should have that priority in our lives. Nobody. Just El Roy, the God that sees me. But before I really dive into that, I want to give a shout out to the nations around the world and thank them for joining us, usually on streaming or on demand. This podcast and all the podcasts go on demand within a half an hour after I end the show. And then you can go to the website and just look up any of them. There's 12 pages. There's about 10 or 12 podcasts on each page. But these people that the Holy Spirit draws to listen to the podcast streaming or on demand, I just want to give a shout out to them. Denmark, Portugal, Lithuania, Iraq, Cameroon, Austria, Poland, Ukraine, Romania, Bulgaria, Libya, Papua New Guinea, Mozambique, we thank you for joining us. Uganda, Ethiopia, Zimbabwe, Spain, Myanmar, Burma, Democratic Republic of Congo, Italy. Oh, my God, hallelujah. When God said that he was going to take this broadcast globally, I had no idea that it would go this far. 60-some nations. And I haven't counted lately, so there may be some added to that. So China, we give a shout out to you, and thank you for joining us. Mexico, Mongolia, Brazil, Peru, Australia, Netherlands, Togo, France, Bangladesh, Germany, South Korea, Ukraine, London, Israel, Republic of Serbia, Ghana, Norway, Tobago, Trinidad, Sweden, Vietnam, Egypt, Canada, South Africa, Thailand, Dubai, Tanzania, Kenya, Philippines, Belgium, Pakistan. We thank God for drawing you to this ministry. Malaysia, Nigeria, New Zealand, India, Greece, Croatia, Somalia, Russia, Argentina, Namibia, Jamaica, Ivory Coast, Japan, Barbados, Nicaragua, Slovakia, Venezuela, and Turkey, and this great nation that we're in, the United States of America. Great because God has had and has his hand on this great nation. That's why we're great. One nation under God. So we give God all the glory, honor, and praise this evening. We thank you for joining us, whether on demand, no matter what time zone you're in. We give God praise for you listening in. And I can look through all the pages, and one of the most listened to broadcast has been on the wheat and the tares. And I've done seven targeted individual broadcasts over the last 3 or 4 years, and I'm trying to get another one together for early July, and that has had well over 100 listeners. And so targeted individual is something that I know about personally and that the world mostly is very ignorant to. And so if you're interested in hearing anything about what it is and what I mean by this, I'm not going to use this time to talk about it, but you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And you can scroll down. The first one you'll see is the seventh one. And then you keep scrolling or you go from page to page, because I think the first one was about 3 years ago or 4 years ago. So I just give God praise and I thank him. That song that I played was kind of new to me, and I liked it. I had just listened to it tonight, and I thought I would open the broadcast with it. And it's very powerful because we do want to give God all the glory. So I'm going to talk about the God who sees me, El Roy. And Genesis 16 is all about Hagar and Ishmael. And when Sarah got this great idea to give her slave woman, her slave maid, to her husband Abraham with the intentions of conceiving a child. Now, Sarah, I know, didn't know whether Hagar would conceive at all or whether she would conceive a girl. But her desire was to fulfill the promise to Abraham that was spoken directly to Abraham, not directly to Sarah, but directly to Abraham, that he would bear a son. So Sarah decided to play God and intervene because she was barren. God had not opened her womb yet for her to conceive a child. But when God spoke that to Abraham, that he would have a son, God knew that he was speaking a covenant child that would come through Sarah's womb. So I think we mostly know a lot about that. So after Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham and Hagar conceived, Sarah's whole demeanor changed, her whole insides changed, her whole mindset changed, and she began to resent Hagar for doing something that she actually and intentionally had her to do. You know, slavery goes way back. Slavery goes way on back to Genesis, because Egyptian people were considered dark-skinned as opposed to Hebrew people. They were not as dark. They were a different race. And it appears that they were slave people to the Hebrew people initially. And so Hagar decides to tell Sarah decides to tell Hagar this great idea, and Abraham went for it. So I'm going to read some of this in the Bible. And it says, so Abraham went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, when Sarah saw that Hagar had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. And Sarah said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid unto your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. And Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maid is in your hand to do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, Hagar fled from her presence. Now, this is what gets to me that's so powerful. When Hagar fled from Sarah, because who wouldn't have fled from a situation like that? Here I'm pregnant by your husband, and you're beating up on me. So Hagar fled, and now the angel of the Lord found her. This is so powerful. The angel, the word angel in the Bible is a capital A. So that was the Lord that found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? Now, of course, the Lord knew where she came from, you know, but Hagar probably didn't even know where she was going. But the very fact, God knew all along that it was going to happen this way, and that this woman was going to be despised because she was obedient to her master, because that's what slaves were. They obeyed their masters. And even in this situation, it was the same way. But God appeared to her and spoke to her. And it reminds me of when I was going through something so horrible. And it was for years. And I had just been in this house maybe 2 years almost. And I was sitting on the side of my bed, and I was under my prayer shawl, and I had put on this song on repeat called Cover Me. And it would get me in such the presence of God, because there were years in my life where I was not covered by a pastor whose church I was a member of, a tither, involved in ministry, but it was totally different from what I was used to after I had been saved 14 or 15 years. And something happened that just devastated my life while I was there. And I was confiding in the leadership, and I was very much betrayed and not covered at all. What happened to me was passed from that pastor to another church, pastor, bishop, and on down the line. And I was totally devastated. And I would listen to this song, Cover Me, and I was under my prayer shawl this day. And I was just worshiping the Lord, and the angel of the Lord appeared in my room and appeared standing behind me. And he covered me with his feathers, like it says in Psalm 91. And my whole body, I still had my eyes closed, but my whole body was covered in his feathers. And I could see the panel of each wing that was hovering over me, that had me engulfed in the two wings. Now, I didn't plan to say this. It just came to my mind as I just saw where the angel of the Lord appeared to Hagar. She was in a desert place, and I was in a desert place at that time. And God manifested himself to me as the angel of the Lord. And I just wept and wept. I never opened my eyes. I could see my room. I was still under my prayer shawl, and I saw his wings cover me. And doesn't Psalm 91 say that? He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely, surely he will protect me from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. Under his wings I shall trust. And the song was still playing on repeat. And finally, after minutes or a half an hour or so, I opened my eyes and I realized that God was saying to me, I have you covered. I have you covered. That is the moment that a major healing process took place in me. And so this is what God did for Hagar. The angel of the Lord, God appeared himself speaking to her, an Egyptian slave. Hallelujah. She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. The angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child. And you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then she called the name of the Lord, who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. For she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? That is so powerful. Have I also here seen him who has seen me? And people say that we could never see God. I mean, I know that that wasn't God the Father, but that was certainly God the Son, who can be seen, who manifests himself even in the lives of people today. Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. Glory to God. And Sarah, and Hagar, rather, the runaway slave, hallelujah, meets the true and living God in a desert of despair. And she gives him the name El Roy, the God who sees me. So many times Christians go into depression because they don't think about this, because they may not feel his presence. But I know how to get his presence manifested in my life, and that's through praise and worship. So in Genesis, Hagar was the mother of Abraham's eldest son, Ishmael. So the angel of the Lord speaks to her by a spring, and this was in her wilderness, which all of us have a wilderness to go through. Some have more than one wilderness. And to be so mistreated by someone care about, because I don't believe that these slaves of Abraham were mistreated slaves. But I believe in this situation, there was nothing to come about good or nice when the will of God was being distorted or misunderstood. And that was because Sarah could not bear a child. And in her time, it was a humiliation to the family, to the woman that was barren when she couldn't have a child. So the next thing was to, for Abraham to go into an Egyptian woman, a woman with a total different God, an Islamic God, and to not have even thought about the repercussions of having a child from an Egyptian woman, majorly unequally yoked, and a nation of people, of Egyptians, were known to worship other gods, not the God of Abraham. But who could withstand the mistreatment that she withstood even in a pregnant state? So like I said, slavery goes way back to Genesis. An Egyptian slave woman had an encounter with the God of Abraham. Seeing how she was regarded of low estate as she was by Sarah and Abraham, they used her like a pawn, with Sarah's suggestion to Abraham to sleep or have intercourse with him just to try and satisfy God. So Hagar might conceive and have a son that God spoke directly to Abraham about. This was more serious than Sarah could ever fathom in her mind. God did not speak directly to Sarah, so this was all Sarah's idea. It reminds me of Eve in the garden being deceived by the snake. But I heard somebody on a show today that I was watching on YouTube say the snake must have been friendly to Eve for her to even be having a conversation with the snake. But Adam named the snake, and his name means deceiver. So this kind of reminded me of when Eve was distracted by the snake and deceived by the snake and led Adam into sin and disobedience to God. It caused the lamb to be slain. It caused Jesus to have to go to Calvary and do and go through all that he went through. One sin against God, one sin of disobedience, one sin against humanity. Hallelujah. So with Hagar, two worlds collided, two belief systems. And God recognized that it wasn't Hagar that was at fault. Nevertheless, Hagar had to get out of the presence of Sarah. I know there's times in all our lives that we want to get out of somebody's presence, get away from this. And we try to in different ways to how about trying to get away from somebody at your job when you know you got to go to work every day and see them and deal with them. So this was even more major than that, because Hagar was a slave and God was telling her to return to Sarah. But, you know, when God talks to us, he's such a loving God, and he manifested himself to her in a dry, hot desert place where she was trying to escape the madness that her owner got her into. God showed up, and he made her feel comfortable. Just the voice of God can make you feel comfortable in doing what he says. And I believe that when God manifested himself to this woman trying to escape the world that she lived in, the voice of God ministered to her. She didn't serve him. She didn't have any worship towards him. But there are times in our lives that we recognize God for who he is. When I wasn't saved, a couple months before I got saved, I heard God call my name, and I knew it was him. And he led me step by step in the next couple months, kneeling with a few true believers where I gave my life to Christ. So Hagar was recognized by God. And I feel so strongly that that has happened to me in my time, in my desert time, when the angel of the Lord appeared to me. He'll respond to your deepest pain. And that was the deepest pain that I have ever experienced in my life. It goes deeper than hurt. And God just saw me in that state and manifested himself. The God of Abraham as El Roy, the God that sees me. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. At the hands of God's people, this slave woman, her life was just devastated. At the hands of God's people, Sarah and Abraham. Hallelujah. And that was just the first time Abraham and Sarah, that she fled from them. The second time was after Ishmael was born and they put her out. So I'm just honored and blessed to be able to minister about El Roy, the God who sees me, who knows if she ever wondered later about El Roy, or she just carried on her Islamic beliefs, forgetting about the true and living God that appeared to her and spoke to her and helped her at the most desperate time in her life. Who knows? As far as we know, she continued on in her Islamic beliefs and had Ishmael. And when Isaac was born, the two worlds, the two different mindsets, religious mindsets, are still colliding today. Hallelujah. Still colliding in Israel, still colliding in the earth. El means God. It could mean any God, little g. Roy means my shepherd, my watcher. El Roy was what Hagar spoke out to the God of Abraham. Abraham and Sarah had no idea that Hagar was going to meet their God along the way when she was running from them and how she was treated, away from being mistreated. The God that sees me. I think this word is probably mainly for me because I often think about, from all the things that I'm going through even right now, God knows that I need to know that he sees me. Hallelujah. And all the listeners need to know that God is a God that sees you, that sees me. Hallelujah. So I thank and praise God for this word. Hallelujah. It's something how people can come in agreement to do something that they think is okay, but that it could devastate your life. And they don't think about that part of it. They only think with their own selfish motives. But through this passage of Scripture, God spells it out to us that even an Egyptian woman that was not calling on the God of Abraham, but she might have heard some things in the camp or in the mix with Abraham's people about the God of Abraham. But out of her very being, she called him El Roy. Am I actually seeing the God that sees me? Hallelujah. I want to meditate on that for a lot of days. Hallelujah. And just be focused and blessed that God can manifest himself to any of us when he sees us in such a situation that we did not cause, caused by the hands of other people and even his people. Hallelujah. So we give God all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. I thank God for Genesis. It's like a soap opera. I heard some people say to other people, you don't read the Bible. It has the best soap operas that you turn on the TV and watch these soap operas all day. Read the Bible. At least his word is holy. So I thank God. I give him all the praise, honor, and glory. I just wanted to focus on this one name of God that would help somebody, that would encourage someone, that God sees you in the situation you're in, no matter what you're going through. Hallelujah. And he will speak to you and give you direction, just like he told Hagar. He knew it would be to her benefit to go back to Sarah, and she obeyed him and did just that. So I thank you for listening. I'm going to open the mic for Evangelist Gina, who's going to minister to us on Adonai and Emmanuel. Gina, thanks for listening to me. I don't usually say too much on the podcast. I usually let you guys do all the talking. But the Lord ministered to me in the last couple months that he really wants me to get back to doing some of these podcasts that I have myself, because when I started out for the first 2 and 3 years, I ministered for the entire 2 hours on something from Scripture that God gave me. So welcome, Gina. I'm glad to have you on. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I really enjoyed you, Linda. Thank God for you, and keep up the good work, allowing God to use you. You always stir up the gift in me, and you always make iron sharpen iron. You made me really do some research and check on some things when you asked me to come on and talk about the two names. And I just thank God for you and your guest that you have on. And I just ask God to just use us for his glory, and give him all the honor and all the praise. Tonight I wanted to talk about, it just makes me want to just say the names more and more when you find out the meaning of them and, you know, how God is, you know, with us. And, you know, I knew about Emmanuel, but Adonai, when I begin to read about that name, you know, I wasn't that familiar with. And as I begin to do my research and everything, I just thank God for, you know, when he wants you to know something. And I, you know, when he was talking about, you know, Adonai, meaning my Lord is Jehovah, you know, how I begin to, when I made me look up my, when you say the word my, it's you belong to it. You're associated with it, you know, with the speaker, you know, how we all belong to the Lord. And, you know, just to be able to call on him, knowing what it means. How many times have we had to call on him? The same way they use the example in 2 Samuel 3 and 4, when David at the time, when David and them were between the house of David and the house of Saul, and about that name, my Lord, how David knew the covenant that was made with the house of David. David knew the covenant between him and God. And what I'm saying is, and I begin to learn how that name, David's fourth son, had a name that, you know, that came out of Ananias' name. And it just touched me just to see how when he thought he was going to be king, all the turmoil that was in the house of David, all the turmoil, but they knew my Lord is Jehovah. My Lord is Jehovah. David knew. If he could call on the name of the Lord, and when it said Lord, meaning in the Hebrew, meant master, ruler, commander, possessor. Just knowing that you belong and you connected with someone. How many times are we connected with people? Are you connected with the right people? What kind of name do the people you run with, what kind of name do they have? I was just thinking about being a part of our Heavenly Father, to be able to call on his name, Emmanuel, knowing God is with us. He's with us no matter what. And it's so funny how, when could you imagine when Joseph and Mary, how when the name Emmanuel came forth, that it was foretold that the name of the Messiah, how could you imagine them, what, we're going to have a son, he's going to be the Messiah, you know, like, could you imagine what they went through, she's a virgin, and Joseph, no, he never touched her, but they could hang on to the word, God is with us, Emmanuel. They could hang on to that word, that he was going to be with them every step of the way. Do you know today that God is going to be with you? That's pretty deep. Could you just imagine Joseph and Mary, the fact that here she is, a virgin, never slept with her fiance, and then she becomes pregnant. And then he already gave them the name. The name was already foretold. But the meaning of the name, God is with us. If he's for us, we got everything going on. Everything. And then it just really deep just to know how. And it said in Isaiah 7 and 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That name, and then the meaning of the name. He told them the sign of Emmanuel. How many times do we have to understand that regardless of what's going on in the world today, God is with us no matter what. He is with us no matter what. If Joseph and Mary can trust him, that they took it all the way. If you think about Abraham, when the Lord told him to take Isaac and put him on the altar for a sacrifice, but he knew God was going to be with him no matter what, but he was obedient. But he knew that he would be with him. That's a deep thing to know, that God is with you. If we can just I was riding by a nursing home, and they had a nursing home that was named Emmanuel. And I thought about it. I said, the owner of that nursing home wanted the families to know that he knew God, and God was with him, and God would be with their family. So we got to be careful what we name our children. People, we didn't have the knowledge to know that names mean something. You can pretty much tell if someone is Hispanic or African American. There's like our names. You know us by our name. So just think about God, how we know him by his name. And he has the 12 names. We know him by his name. But what I'm saying is, but what does his name mean? His name doesn't just mean I'm Latino, African American, Caucasian. His name means so much. Emmanuel, I'm with you. I'm with you. There's all kind of names, but we got to be careful. And then like Ananias, when it says his name means my Lord is Jehovah, meaning he is the master, he's the ruler, he's the commander, he's the possessor. And we know what my means. It says belong or associated with. We know who we're associated with. And sometimes we got to make sure that we have the DNA of our Heavenly Father, because he has no grandchildren. There are no grandchildren in the Bible. He only speaks of children. And I just thought about how when you really get to reading over there in 2 Samuel about what David and them were going through, about all the stuff with Abner and all the different things with Saul and just all the different stuff that the house of David was going through. But my Lord is Jehovah. Just knowing that you're connected. He said, he cursed down to four generations, but keep his covenant down to 1,000. How David, the transfer of all that David went through. And today, all the COVID-19, everything that people have went through, we got to remember the word of God. His word can't lie, and it cannot come back voided. But for the time's sake, I just go back and read the book of Isaiah, all the signs and all the wonders and stuff that we are today. There's no new thing under the sun at all. And when I thought about Ananias, how the Gospel of Matthew, you can go back, it's Matthew 1, 22 through 23, it is interpreted, it was already prophesied of the coming of the Messiah. That just how everything, how we have to understand, there's no new thing in the Bible. Everything, I'm going to read Matthew 1, 22 to 23. There's no new thing under the sun at all. Nothing new. We got to get into our word and read it for ourselves. And, you know, I think about when you begin to ask me about the names of God, I thought about, as a woman, do we know that we are a woman of God? As a man, do we know that we are a man of God? Do people know who they are? Don't let anybody call you any name or classify you as anybody. God gave us a name as a Christian, as a daughter, as a son. We have to live up to our name as being a daughter and being a son of our Heavenly Father. What characteristics do you have carrying the name of our Heavenly Father? We're his children. We're his children. What name? And then it's Matthew, the first chapter, 22 to 23. Now all this was done that it may be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with a child and shall bring forth a gift, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with. God is with you. He is with us every step of the way. If somebody's listening tonight and you don't know who you are, I'm not talking about your birth name. I'm talking about the name that our Heavenly Father gave you. I'm not talking about the name that your mama gave you. I'm talking about the name that God gave us. We're his children. We need to act like we're his child. We need to represent his name correctly, who we're connected with. Who are you connected with? What does your name stand for in the community? When someone sees you, can they recognize that you are a child of God? By the fruit that you bear, by the name that you carry? Are you connected when something comes up against you on your job or with your family? Can you say, Emmanuel, God is with me. I don't have to say anything out of the way. I don't have to do anything out of the way. I'm going to escape this temptation because who I'm with and who I belong to. Tell abusive women, you're not what that man says your name is. Don't allow anyone to call you out your name. Remember who you're connected to. We are sons and daughters of the Most High, and we got to represent as women and men of God. When you said names, it just took me somewhere else because I got to thinking about, can we have the characteristics of being a child of God, his name of being a daughter and being a son? Can we wear that name well and say that we have the fruit, that we're not an apple tree with an orange on it? If somebody, we say something out the way and you say you're a Christian, but they see, well, that's an apple tree, but an orange came out. No, our characteristics, who we belong to. I'm so happy to be a child of God. I'm so happy that I can call on the name of the Lord. I am so happy to be a part, to love on him. Sometimes we just need to love on him and just remember to call on his name. So many times we want to call a friend. We want to call everybody, but let's start calling on the name of the Lord more. Through COVID-19 and the pandemic, more people begin to learn more about God. Let's pray that everybody stay with him because a lot of people needed him, and we still need him today. We want to be connected to that vine, connected. When trouble comes, we want to know who we can call on. There may be an emergency, anything that comes up. We don't want to run straight to the telephone and call somebody else. We want to call on the name of the Lord. When you get ready to have a car accident, the first people say, Jesus. When something's happening, we know who to call on. And what I'm saying today is, just remember, Emmanuel, God is with us. And just remember how God, that name already foretold that it would be one of the names of the Messiah, one of the names of Jesus, that it would be. And the fact that it only appeared 3 times in the Bible, that name, Emmanuel, because God is with us. And remember what my means when you think about Ananias. My. When I thought about my Lord is, and my Lord is Jehovah, my Lord is Jehovah. Remember who you belong to. When you're connected to him, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I don't care how many ditches somebody dig for you. when God is for you, who can be against you? And I just want to leave with you, talk to you, this generation, when they're naming their children. Let them know that a name means something. Begin to tell them about all the names of the Lord and the people in the Bible that has a meaning behind it. And then we want people, when you carry a name, we want you to carry that name well. One thing we know, our Heavenly Father carries his name very well. And as men and women of God, we must do the same thing. Pray my strength in the Lord, but I just, being short and sweet, got grandkids tonight. I'm glad they're quiet enough for me to be able to talk. But that was one of the things, they're quiet enough for me to talk. But I just thought about my, all I could just, the definition of my just kept running with me, belong or associated with. Who are you associated with? Who are you associated with? Is it somebody that can pray you through? Is it somebody that can help you get through a trial? When you call on the name Emmanuel, God is with us. Is he with you? He let us make it through the pandemic. We still here.
Hallelujah.
We still in our right mind. We still in our right mind. Through all the racism, through all the everything, I think through the election, if you made it through the election and you wasn't bitter, God was with you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
If you made it through the election and you didn't think about doing something to Trump and all that kind of stuff, Christian people did not act like they were children of God when it came to the election. Hallelujah, Sunday. They didn't act like children of God. God is to fight our battle. He's to fight our battle. All lives matter to me. God is on the throne. And that's all I'm just saying is we got to make sure that we line up with the name that he gave us, which is daughters and sons of the Most High. He ain't got no grandchildren, because when you get grandchildren, the DNA get messed. You got enough. No, we all his children.
Yeah.
And we all need to look like him, act like him, speak like him, talk like him. He said to pray for our leaders, not talk about them. Pray my strength in the Lord. Love you all.
Well, you know what? You made a couple good points there, but one of them was going through the election and still acting like a Christian. That's good, Gina. That is really good, because I mean, half of my Facebook friends are gone because half of them were prophets that lied, you know, and they, I mean, and one of them made a comment maybe about 4 months ago, and you couldn't even gave a post, but you couldn't even make a comment. You could like it, but you couldn't even make a comment. So when I see every Christian that I was friends with on Facebook during the election, when they knew that I was not a Trumper, when Trump lost, I was thinking about this the other day. I don't even have a post from them, you know, and none of the prophets are on there. One prophet made a public statement that he was wrong because his church board of directors called him on the carpet about it. And he repented publicly. He repented before them. And within the next couple of months, he made his last statement on Facebook that he was leaving Facebook. And he hasn't been on since. So certain things God can expose in a certain way. And I'm careful about who I say is my friends, because friendship to me is tried by years of being your friend. And so I don't just easily call you a friend, you know. I might have some acquaintances, but I don't even have any friends here in Maryland, and I've lived here for over 10 years. Nobody that I actually call friend, people I've interacted with and are acquaintances, but I know what you mean. And there's so many people in church leadership that that are just not who they appear to be, that God has exposed to many. So, but I am at all with how Emmanuel and Elroy and even the names of God that Minister Chadwick is going to talk about have so much to do with God's love for us and him being on our side and him being in our lives and talking to us. And when you were talking, God actually told Hagar what to name her son. I don't know if she knew she was carrying a son, but God knew she was carrying a son, and he told her his what to name him and what he was going to be like. So I'm just amazed at how God works through all this, you know, and I don't want people in my life that bring trials in my life. Because I've been through more trials that church leaders have brought in my life than I dare to mention. And so I appreciate you, Gina. I'm thankful that the children were quiet. I didn't know you had 10 children over there right now, but I'm thankful. And God gave you the space, and the angels encamped around them kept them quiet. So we bless God tonight, and I thank you, my sister, for the word that God has given you and also for being my friend. So I am going to go to our next presenter, my friend Chadwick Harvey. He's a writer, an author, and a powerful teacher. He has a YouTube page. Go subscribe to his YouTube page. Minister Chadwick, your mic is open. It's all yours. God bless you.
Thank you, Linda. It's always good to be with you. It's been a long time, so it's good to be back. And thank Gina, you, for some powerful, powerful messages for everybody. I wanted to mention real quick that you were talking about sight with Elroy, and we have entered into the biblical month on God's calendar of Tammuz, and the overall understanding of that month is sight and to keep your eyes on the Lord. So I thought it was interesting that, you know, we had this tonight in this month and you brought that out with Hagar, which is a beautiful love story, in my opinion, to Hagar. It really shows a lot of love and grace and mercy that the Lord had on her, which is phenomenal what you brought out. So I just wanted to mention that, but some of the names that we can get into, and there's so many, you know, when you presented this to me, there were so many that we could get into, and you ladies brought out some fantastic understanding of those. And I'd like to start with the meaning of Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. You know, we're all familiar with that. It's Yahweh. Some people say Yahweh. I'm going to try to break down the Hebrew letters of what it means, the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. In a basic understanding of it. If you're not familiar with the Hebrew alphabet, God does have a alphabet that he uses with the original language. And some of these names that we use are really brought out through the meaning of the Hebrew, since it is the purest language of the Bible and the original intent of it when it was written. So we'll start with Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And if you're not familiar with it, it's four letters, the Yod, the He, the Vav, and the He. And what's amazing about the Yod, it does talk about that is God's sacred name. So when we look at the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the Yod is a divine spark. That's where it all starts. It's the letter that is associated with every other letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It's the Yod. It's the spark, the divine spark from the very beginning, you know, which is the Lord God Almighty. And so when we think about that, think about Yeshua, which is Jesus' Hebrew name, or Yah, which is the, they call the Father, Yah, Yeshua. You know, that's Israel starts with the Yod as well. So it's a very powerful letter. But according to the sacred name and the basic understanding of it is you had this divine spark of the Yod, and then you have the letter He. And you can think of it as when I say, hey, Linda, you know, I'm trying to get Linda's attention with that hey. And it says, look and behold. So we have the Yod, the divine spark, and then we have the hey, which is the look and behold. In the spiritual realm, because that's the first one goes to the spiritual realm, and then we have the Vav, the third letter, that is Jesus, Messiah. He's the connector between heaven and earth, and then we have the final He, which goes down to the earth. So the Lord is telling us He is the divine spark of the Yod in the heavenly realm, in the courts of heaven, the He, to look and behold about His Son, the mediator, the Vav, that connects heaven and earth. And then He brings it down to the earth, so to speak. So it's a beautiful understanding of how the Lord works through His Hebrew letters. He is the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, as we all know. And it's just a fascinating meditation when you think about that. So whenever we're praying, whenever we're praising the Lord, we can think about how the Vav brings down the light, Messiah brings down the light in our prayers and in our incense and in our petitions. It goes back, it returns back up to the Lord God as He wants it. So it's a beautiful unison of those four letters when you think about it. So I would encourage anybody to pray about that and understand that that's where the blessings, that's where the verdicts, that's where all of these beautiful things. Jesus is our mediator. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. And it's a great meditation on the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. He wants us to understand the sacred name, understand the divine name that is that, and the meaning of that. So I would encourage anybody who hasn't really looked into the Hebrew letters to look into these things and get great revelation and meditation towards that. But the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh is very important, and we want to always petition and pray accordingly to that, that He hears our prayers. He hears our, it's like sweet incense, as the scriptures say, and then He returns the blessings down from those praises, from those petitions, from the righteous rendered verdicts in the courts of heaven down to the earth, and it goes in cyclical manner. It's just a never, it's like a revolving door. It never ends with that. The second name that, and I'm not sure if this is one of the names on this brochure stuff, but one of the names I wanted to bring out as well that I thought was a pretty cool understanding is the Great I Am, or in Hebrew it's the Aheh Asher Aheh, you know, is what they call it. And it's so amazing when we think about the Great I Am. We know that the Lord is the Great I Am, but if we could detail these two words, I Am, you know, He is the I Am. So before we were, He was, as we all know, I am, you know, the Lord God Almighty. So that's really where it begins. He's infinity and everlasting. You know, we all know that. But when He says, I am, you know, you can tell Him that I am came in the book of Exodus. I am He, or I am the great I am, the Aheh Asher Aheh. We can think of it as before He was, we were. Think about before we were, He was. I'm sorry, I made a mistake with that. And when we think about introducing ourselves to people, we always say, hey, I am Chad. So think about that in unison. I am Chad. So Chad's behind the I am. The I am comes first, which is the Father. So I don't know if we've ever looked at that in that way when you introduce yourself, but maybe from here on out, you'll think of it like that, is when you introduce yourself, you're always putting God before yourself. You know, I am the Lord, but then Chad. You know, so I thought that was a cool revelation to give and to always remember every one of us to always humble ourselves and deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow Him, that He deserves all the credit, honor, glory, and to exalt Him in all of our ways. Just like Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says, and He will direct our paths. So we always have to keep the proper order of the first commandment of, you know, loving the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, no idolatry, which includes self-idolatry. And it's just a cool tie-in when we introduce ourselves. We are always putting the great I am before us, the Aheh Asher Aheh. And we see that in the book of Exodus when He spoke to Moses. He revealed certain names to Moses that He didn't even reveal to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, and that is one of them, the great I am, and then the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you know, so to speak. So I wanted to bring that out as well. I thought that was pretty interesting and something to pray about, and I thought it was a cool tie-in. Elohim, and maybe one of the ladies hit on this, maybe Gina hit on this as well, the Elohim, I'm not sure. But Elohim is amazing to me when we look at the plural form of Elohim. You know, it is in plural form. It reminds me of Genesis when it says, when the scriptures say, let us, you know, make an image, you know, make image of us, you know, it's plural. It's talking about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So many times when we look at churches, a lot of people do not believe that there are three in one, one in three. And according to the scriptures, we all know that that is the true truth, that there's three persons, but there is one, and that is Elohim. He was in the beginning with the Father, and of course the Holy Spirit was there as well. So when we look at Elohim in this plural form, I think it's important to establish this name in writings and in podcasts like this or in videos for people to understand the plurality, also the singular understanding of it as well, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, but all three are one, you know, as we all believe with that, with the scriptures. So it's amazing when we look at the scriptures, Elohim is in the scriptures hitting in some areas that some people don't, you know, see. But when you look at Genesis as an example for this evening, we can see the plural form of let us make man in the image of us, you know, let us do this. So it's plural form, and I thought it was important to bring the Elohim out as well as the other other ones. But Gina hit on Adonai, so I don't want to be redundant with Adonai, but we'll add to Adonai as the Adonai Zavaot, you know, and that's in the book of Joshua. I think it's one of the most amazing passages that I love to read is when Joshua crossed over the Jordan into the promised land, he saw the commander of the Lord, and that's what it means. You know, Adonai Zavaot, you know, he's the commander of the Lord's armies. And remember, Joshua asked him if he was for us or against us, you know, so to speak, and the Lord said, I am the commander of the Lord's armies, which I believe that is Jesus himself that appeared to Joshua. So I believe who was, the names correlate together, Joshua, Jesus, or Yehoshua, Yeshua, you know, you can kind of see the similarities in that. But it's an awesome revelation to realize that he is our commander, just like Linda said, he does see, you know, just like Gina says, God with us, Emmanuel, God is a creed, he is with us. You know, think about even Antichrist, they're going to take a mark, it's a creed that they're going to take at the end of the age to worship the beast. Well, we have our creed, which is Emmanuel, God with us. He's the commander of the Lord's armies. And all of these things that we're speaking of tonight really goes into the dynamic ways of the Lord and all of these beautiful names. It's really amazing to try to put your head around all of these things. But he is the commander of the Lord's armies, which he is for you, just like Gina mentioned that as well, that he is for you. You know, he's not against you if you obviously pray into these things with the Lord, meditate on the Word of God. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine came to me a couple of days ago, and she was having a hard time with just life and just belief and things like that. And it was amazing to hear the call because she's one of the people who kind of helped me when I was being born again, or when I was born again 7 years ago. So I thought it was interesting how it works that, you know, now I'm trying to be a good believer to her and be someone that she can speak with to kind of help her work through some things, of course, through the Holy Spirit. But that's how it works. We have to really detail it out. And like I told her, she mentioned some things, and this is no judgment at all on her whatsoever, but she's got away from the Word of God. You know, she hasn't read the Word of God in 6 months, and it was a very easy fix for me, so to speak, because I felt the Holy Spirit just highlighted that. I mean, we have the two great witnesses, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. I mean, we got Jesus is the Word, and then we have the blessed Holy Spirit. Those two powerful witnesses, of course, the greatest witnesses, and that's what I told her. So we've got to remember to dive into the Word of God, even with these names that we've mentioned tonight, and they'll give you so much great comfort and love and healing, if you will, if we dive into these things, because it's so dynamic the way the Lord has used his name in so many different ways, and he reveals them at certain times. And speaking of healing, I believe healing is one of the things that most even believers need at this time. There's a lot of spiritual warfare going on right now. I think Linda knows my views of how the end of the age and things like that. And as we continue down the end of the age before Jesus returns, there's going to be tremendous warfare mentally, psychologically, physically, you name it. That's just the way that it is. It's always been, but it will increase severely, in my opinion, with these things, just like the scripture says. So I think it's important for all of us to understand we have a commander of the Lord, Adonai Zabaoth, that will go and for us, that will fight the war with us. He will intercede with us. And obviously we have the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, Elohim, and remember the I Am and the Yod Heh Vav Heh. But also I want to mention that he does reveal his names at certain times. And if we look back at the Exodus from Egypt, you know, on that journey after they left Egypt, he revealed three important names that I think goes into, you know, this session that we're speaking of. And the first one he mentioned was, he is their healer. Remember, they came out of Egypt, you know, and they were thirsty, and the waters were bitter, and he made them sweet for them, and he promised them that he would not give them the judgments or the plagues of Egypt. So he revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, the healer, and it's something for all of us to really pray into whatever journey that we're on right now. We're all on our own path, but also as a group. And it's important to pray into the healing that we all need from whatever it may be, from the things that have disappointed us, bondage, strongholds, whatever it may be, to break them off, but also go through a healing process. And that's one of the good examples that we find in the Exodus. I believe it's Exodus 15, that they were, the waters were sweet for them to drink and no bitterness. You know, it was the healing that he was doing from the bondage from Egypt. So we can really pray into that on our own personal journey. I do a lot of the biblical months, you know, go through the biblical months, and we just got out of those months where we remember the Exodus from Egypt, Passover, all of these things, the transition from Exodus to Mount Sinai, and now, you know, going forward in the biblical months. And it's a part of the healing and God's patterns and seasons, if you will. So I thought that was important to mention was Jehovah Rapha or Jehovah Rapha. Remember the Yod, Jehovah, it starts with the Yod. The Yod is so powerful, the divine spark. He is that divine spark of healing, you know, as well. And the second one I'd like to mention is he revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, which is he's the provider. Remember, they left Egypt and they needed provision. They needed food, manna, after the unleavened bread ran out, also water, quail, all of these things that he provided. So he revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh. He is the provider. He's our provider, God with us. He's going to be with us. He was with them in the cloud by day and the fire by night. So he's going to be with the people that love him, that believe in him, which is in Jesus, and he's going to be with us. And then the third one that was mentioned in the Exodus from Egypt was Jehovah Nissi, which is, this is right after, you know, right at the end of the journey to Mount Sinai, Amalek, you know, came against them. The ancient enemy of Amalek came against the children of Israel. We know the story. Moses with his staff raised up, with Aaron and Hur on his left and right, holding his hands up. The Israelites defeated all of them. There was not one Israelite killed, and he revealed himself as Jehovah Nissi, which is their conqueror, their banner. So anything you're dealing with right now, he's your conqueror, he's your healer, he's your provider, God with us, Emmanuel, God who sees, Elroy, all of these things that we've mentioned tonight, he's going to provide for you. He's going to conquer your Amaleks, if you will. He's going to do everything that he says he's going to. Our job is to pray into that and be in alignment with him, obedience with him, and petitioning for him, and to bring the good report and believe in the good report and not the bad report, as we've mentioned, or as we all know with the story of the spies. So I wanted to bring these things out with the Yod Heh Vav Heh, with what that means with the four letters. Really, it's a cyclical thing. When we look at the divine spark from heaven to earth, the Vav, Messiah, and then all of these things that we've mentioned with God's names, pray into the meaning of them, just like We pray into the meaning of the Hebrew letters. We pray into the meaning of the scriptures, you know, quoting scriptures, just like Messiah did. It is written, and this is no different. All of the names that were mentioned tonight, and there's so many more, this could be a, you know, several podcasts, a video or anything like that, but all of these names are so important to remember. I think Linda's brought out some great ones tonight with Elroy, he sees, and we are in the month of sight with Tammuz, which is amazing. She brought that up. And then also what Gina brought up with the Emmanuel, God is with you. He is going to be with you. He's going to be with his children. He's going to protect us. He's going to conquer Amalek and all of these things we've mentioned. So I hope this has been helpful and that great revelation and meaning comes into it. And I pray that you pray into it and see what God reveals to you. So thank you so much for having me, Linda.
Well, praise God, because you brought something out that I find that's very good to do, is to pray into it. When we really know the whole scope and the different ways that God, who he is, you know, not just one way, but this way and that way, and he just encompasses everything, that I've learned to call upon his name for that. You know, I didn't know what season we were in, but I did know that God gave me Elroy. And in a lot of my podcasts, one of my guest speakers will say something about the topic and why it is apropos for this season or this week or this day. And so I'm glad you brought that out. So I'm just elated. I may do another podcast on the names of God, because there's so many of them. And I have 16 listed on the website for this podcast. But next Tuesday night, there's a podcast, and the topic is Facing Difficulties Walking with God. And I think I have 5 speakers, and I, even if I had 10 or 100, there's always something every year or every other year, every 10 years, or you can't walk with God without opposition. Without opposition in the church, without opposition from somewhere. And most of the time, your greatest opposition is right in the house of God. So I'm so grateful for this topic. Thank you, Minister Chadwick. And I'm honored to have you back on the podcast. I got a couple of topics for July, so I'll be calling on you and Gina regarding that. So thank you, sir. I really do appreciate it. That was a powerful word.
Thank you.
God bless you. So I'm just going to close out the broadcast. We did not do 2 hours, but that's fine. Shorter time, more powerful, focusing totally on God and who he is and who he represents and who he'll talk to. Who he'll talk to as the angel of the Lord manifesting himself to an unbeliever, an Egyptian woman, if he'll talk to her in her distress, because she was part of a nation which her slave owners were. Abraham had a nation in him. So we praise God tonight. So I'm going to close out the broadcast just by saying what I usually say, that only what we do for Christ will last. Be kind, love on somebody. God bless you.